You're listening to KZSU, Stanford. Oh no. Wait, oh. Okay. No, that's not the sound. This is definitely not what I had in mind. This is a Cranky Kid Show.
One day, a boy named Hans leaves his house to visit a girl named Gretel. Gretel gives Hans a needle.
Goodbye, Gretel.
Goodbye, Hans.
Hans sticks the needle into a passing hay cart and follows the cart home.
Good evening, Mother. Gretel gave me a needle.
Where is the needle, Hans?
I stuck it in a hay cart.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have stuck the needle in your sleeve.
Never mind. I'll do better next time.
The next day, Hans again goes to Gretel. Gretel gives Hans a knife.
Goodbye, Gretel.
Goodbye, Hans.
Hans sticks the knife in his sleeve and goes home.
Good evening, Mother. Gretel gave me a knife.
Where is the knife, Hans?
Stuck in my sleeve.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have put the knife in your pocket.
Never mind. I'll do better next time.
The next day, Hans again goes to Gretel. Gretel gives Hans a young goat.
Goodbye, Gretel.
Goodbye, Hans.
Hans ties the goat's legs and puts it in his pocket. When he gets home, the goat has suffocated and is dead.
Good evening, Mother. Gretel gave me a goat.
Where is the goat, Hans?
I put it in my pocket. It died.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have put a rope around the goat's neck and brought it home.
Never mind. I'll do better next time.
The next day, Hans again goes to Gretel. Gretel gives Hans a big slab of bacon.
Goodbye, Gretel.
Goodbye, Hans.
Hans ties a rope around the bacon and drags it home. The dogs come and eat up all the bacon.
Good evening, Mother. Gretel gave me a big slab of bacon.
Where is the bacon, Hans?
I tied a rope around it and dragged it home. The dogs ate it.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have carried the bacon on your head to keep it from the dogs.
Never mind. I'll do better next time.
The next day, Hans again goes to Gretel. Gretel gives Hans a baby cow.
Goodbye, Gretel.
Goodbye, Hans.
Hans puts the baby cow on his head and the baby cow kicks his head all the way home.
Good evening, Mother. Gretel gave me a baby cow.
Where's the baby cow, Hans?
I set it on my head and it kicked my face.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have led the baby cow with a rope and put it in the barn.
Never mind. I'll do better next time.
The next day, Hans again goes to Gretel. She is depleted of gifts.
Good day, Hans. Have you finally brought me something?
No.
Then I will go with you.
Hans takes Gretel, ties her with a rope, and leads her to the barn next to his house. Then he binds her to the stall inside.
Good evening, Mother.
Good evening, Hans. Where have you been?
With Gretel.
What did she give you this time?
Nothing. She came with me.
Where have you left Gretel, Hans?
I led her by a rope and then tied her to the stall in the barn. I even scattered some grass for her.
That was stupid, Hans. You should have cast friendly eyes upon her.
Okay.
Hans goes to the barn, cuts out all the barn animals' friendly eyes, and casts them upon Gretel.
Ew!
Gretel then becomes angry, tears herself loose, and runs away screaming into the forest.
Ah! Oh, never mind. I'll do better next time.
Oh, gee whiz, you guys. This is Grimly speaking, not fairy tales for the faint-hearted.
That was another in our series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm. Day in the life of the literal family with Ma and Pa Idiom and the twins Sissy and Gerund.
Give me some money.
No.
Ma?
What?
Sissy won't give me some money.
Now, Gerund, you know you should do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Oh, all right. Here's $10. Now you give me $10.
Okay. Anyway, I don't know why you two children are fussing so much. You know money is the root of all evil.
That's okay, Ma. We promised not to bury it.
Look, Ma's running around like a crazy person.
I got a bee in my bonnet. Fetch me a stick.
That wouldn't keep happening, Ma, if you didn't keep putting a feather in your cap.
Oh, Pa, don't get your undies in a bundle.
Well, I wouldn't if you used more starch.
There's no need to use starch. After I wash them, they're as fresh as a daisy.
No wonder they feel so funny.
Ow! Ow! Ma!
Now, what's the trouble?
Sissy's acting stupid.
I'm not acting.
Well, then, that solves it, Jaren.
Oh, all right.
You see, it's rule of thumb.
Whose thumb?
I don't know. Some important person, I guess.
Pa, can you cut me some slack?
Sure can, Ma. Just step aside so as I can get a good aim.
Well, hurry up, honey. He who hesitates is lost.
I know where I am, Ma. Just move over an inch or two.
Come on, Sissy. Pick up the pace.
I will. Where'd you last put it?
In the closet.
Oh, Pa, isn't it wonderful? Tomorrow we can hitch our wagon to a star.
Really? NASA called back and gave us permission? We applied ages ago.
Yes, honey. It's better late than never.
Investigative Retorts.
Good evening. It's the year 1999, and we are here today talking with Iman Stewart, a student at the Kinder Elementary School. Tell us what's been happening, Iman.
Well, I don't know when it started, but now it's completely out of hand. I can't go anywhere without being touched.
I understand your teachers literally have to place you in a fenced area on the playground.
Yes, and it's really hard to play sports that way, let me tell you. I usually end up sitting on the ground, right in the middle, drawing chalk figures on the pavement.
Why in the middle?
Because some of the kids find sticks and use them to get at me through the fence. I'm safest in the middle.
That's terrible. Can't you switch schools?
This is my fourth one in the last 6 months.
You mean it's everywhere?
Yeah, apparently it is. I guess I'll just have to wait for the scheme to die down.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here first on Investigative Retorts. The strange and sad fate of one student, Iman Stewart, the victim of a game called Pokemon.
This is a Cranky Kid Show.
Stanford Parking and Transportation Services asks,
is having a good hair day worth a very real risk of paralysis, permanent brain damage, or death if you're involved in a crash on your bike?
Bike helmets reduce head trauma in the event of a collision by up to 85%. Love your brain, wear a helmet. Learn more by visiting bike.stanford.edu.
And now, everyone, it's
time for cows!
Mm-hmm.
cows in Florida. Today we're talking about the Florida cracker.
So you're a Florida cracker?
Sure am.
And you're Florida's equivalent to the Texas Longhorn?
That's right. But we've been called other names like Piney Woods, Florida Scrub, and Florida Native Cattle.
But why the name Cracker?
Because the coloring on our hide looks like a firecracker when often some paint can we were standing next to. Same as the Texas Longhorn. Longhorn and I both came from Spain, though, originally.
Why, yes, I've read that collectively. You and various other breeds of cattle come from Central and South America are called Criollo cattle.
Yep, that's as true can be. Now, us Florida crackers are smaller than the Texas Longhorns, and we don't have the extreme, and we're talking big here, we don't have the extreme length as the Longhorns in Texas. That's because of the scrub.
Scrub?
Yes, sir. Scrub. S-C-R-U-B. Scrub is heavily wooded lowlands. You see, we've lived for hundreds of years as feral cattle, just wandering about eating whatever we could find in the woods. If our horns had stuck out too much, we'd have gotten all caught up between the trees and died out. That's why our horns are shorter.
Pretty, though. Your horns are very attractive.
You think so? I think they're cute. Now you ought to see my mama's horns. They have some very interesting twists for an unaged cow.
Well, I think your ability to withstand the heat, insects, and humidity of Florida's long summers makes you a very special cow.
Now you're just sweet-talking me now.
Hello, world. This is my daily cow in the barn. And today from Scotland, we have the Aberdeen Angus. This beef breed is naturally palled, with the pall being kind of pointy and ears standing out from the head, as opposed to being droopy. Aberdeen Angus are best known for having richly marbled beef. Height, measuring up to the withers, the cows usually stand a little over 4 feet, or 125 centimeters. Modern bulls stand about 4.5 feet, or 135 centimeters. Weight. Do they weigh more than a grand piano? Yeah. Aberdeen cows weigh in at around 1,430 pounds, or 650 kilograms, and the bulls weigh in at around 2,200 pounds, or 1,000 kilograms. Now, coat color. Originally, Aberdeen Angus were found in all colors, but as people began developing the breed, they chose black because, at the time, black was believed to signify hardiness. As in, you got yourself a good sturdy cow if and it's black. Today, red specimens are also accepted by the herd book. If you'd like to learn and see a bit more about the Aberdeen Angus, just go to My Daily Cow and also the Cow Wall at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K. So please stay well until our next cow at My Daily Cow, where you'll find cows and more cows, and steers, and bulls, and calves.
We haven't any time to waste.
What's happening?
The Otsma Cameron Dairy has reported some suspicious activity.
What activity?
Well, it seems the three blind mice in their barn have taken up instruments and formed a jazz trio.
So what's wrong with that? It sounds like a good way to pass the time when you're a blind rodent living in a barn.
Yes, but the only song they've learned to play is Mood Indigo, and now all the milk is turning blue.
This is a job for the men in milk.
Dairy defenders.
Wow, this is some fancy herringbone milking parlor they have here at this dairy. And take a look at the cows. I've never seen cows look like this before.
That's because you're used to seeing the most common dairy breeds in America, which in this story means Ayrshire, Brown Swiss, Guernsey, Holstein, Jersey, and milking Shorthorn.
Okay, so what kind of cows are these?
Piedmontese.
And what kind of cows are those?
Italian. They have a very rich milk that's used for specialty cheeses like Gorgonzola.
They look so buff, though. I mean, they have huge, well-defined necks and shoulder muscles.
Yes, well, they're also used for beef, which is marketed as a premium product. A phrase which means you pay big bucks for very thin slices on a small salad plate.
Excuse me, but are you both here about the milk?
Yes, we are. Where's the milk?
Follow me. It's right over here next to the bulk tank.
Which here means a giant refrigerated stainless steel cylinder used to store milk before the milk truck comes and gets it.
Wait, it's gone.
The bulk tank?
No, silly, the blue milk. I had it right here in a milk pail. Where'd the blue milk go?
Now that was interesting. We search all over the dairy, finally find the blue milk, only to be told by the owner that it's being produced on purpose for some new specialty cheese.
And its blue color has nothing to do with the three blind mice and their lack of repertoire, a word which here means they need to learn more than one song to make it as a dance band.
We should get going.
Wait, don't go.
Now what?
Why? What's happening?
Well, the first one was Tom Brulé. She's a French Bayonet from the mountains.
Oh?
She had a beef with Congress over dairy subsidies. She was on her way to Washington when we heard the latest copy of the Congressional Record hit her on the head, and we haven't heard from her since.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And then there's Maribel, our Danish Red. She was going to Denmark to see some family, and then on to Paris for a fashion show. They say she got kidnapped by the Gucci Gucci goons. Last we heard, she'd been made into a series of handbags, and is now on a shelf at Beaumarchais.
Which, in this story, means she's literally beside herself.
Wow, that's really unfortunate.
There's more.
No!
Yes, my best cow, Sage Derby. She's a little Dexter from Ireland, left yesterday from Hollywood. She said she has a part in some movie, which is strange because she can't act worth beans. A phrase which means not very well.
This is suspicious.
Yes, very suspicious. Have they all been using the same travel agent?
Why, yes. Sonoma Jack and his pepper planes have been flying them everywhere.
You said they were lured. A verb which means to attract by temptation.
Yes, it was Sonoma Jack who suggested each trip. Tom Brulé believed she could make Congress understand logic.
That's an unfortunate belief.
Maribel was interested in Danish fashions.
Possibly an unfortunate sight.
And Sage Derby fancied herself a great thespian.
A phrase which in this story means a cow wanting everyone to pay attention to her every moo.
Even more unfortunate for the audience.
We must go to Hollywood and find Sage Derby.
Tickets, tickets, please hand me your tickets.
Step forward, everyone. The movie tour is about to begin. Please take your seats on the transporter.
Take your seats. Do not leave them behind.
What did the ticket taker just say?
Something about behind our seats.
No, I mean the word transporter. Who on earth would call this bus a transporter?
Unless they're from...
another planet. Those two are Moomin from the planet Moo.
You're right. After them.
Run for it.
That was very close. How did they know us Moomin were here?
Perhaps our plan to blend in with the movie business has been compromised. A word which here means been on the news and watched by everyone.
We must find Sonoma Jack, the cleverest agent from the planet Moo.
Yes, we must find him.
You'll know what together we should do next. Moomin, together for the planet Moo.
So, my little Dexter cow, are you ready to be in the movies?
Yes, oh yes. This is so exciting. Ever since I read the first Harry Provolone book, I've seen myself starring as Hermione Gruyere. When the first movie came out...
The Sorcerer's Sap Sago.
Yes, that one. I was so impressed, but I thought I could do a better job than the actress they chose for the part.
And then they made The Chamber of Stilton.
Followed by The Prisoner of Asiago.
Yes, yes. And now the Fondue Pot of Fire is out. And they've still kept her in that pot, even though I know I could do better.
Well, now's your chance. I hear she's fallen ill. Lost her voice while doing a radio reading of The Velveeta Rabbit.
I know. I'm so excited. If you hadn't come out to the dairy to tell me that the pot was now open for the next in the Harry Provolone series, a phrase which here means the fifth book you could squash a pumpkin with.
You mean The Order of the Parmigiano, of course. Yes, it'll be a great movie with you now in the part. Now if you'll just sign here.
And knowing that this contract guarantees that I'll also be in Harry Provolone and the Half-Baked Brie makes all this traveling worth it.
Yes, now if you'll just sign here.
Why are we out here?
Dairy Defender Headquarters has located a ship from the planet Mu. It's on top of Mesa Queso Blanco.
That's the perfect landing spot for a spaceship. Why didn't we see it before?
Because we're in Hollywood, and there usually aren't any mesas in Hollywood to see.
Except on this old set from the last of the Cheese Wars movies, Revenge of the Stinking Bishop.
Yeah, that was okay. But Return of the Jarlsberg was my favorite.
Mine too.
They will never suspect us of using this old movie set for landing our ship.
Yes, and soon we will have collected enough fancy cows to fill our new creamery. A phrase which here means tricked into coming to the planet Moo and work like slaves for utterly nothing.
Sonoma Jack has arrived.
He looks happy.
Fellow Moo men, how good to see you. The cows are ready. They've hoofed it onto the ship already.
Moo-hoo, we have succeeded.
Not so fast.
Yeah, not so fast.
We heard every word.
Well, that isn't very surprising, since the acoustics around this place are very hot. Which here means louder than a Las Vegas casino in full swing.
Listen, you can't take these cows to the planet Mu.
Oh, yes we can. See? Here are all the contracts with all the proper hoofprints in place. Each one has agreed to come with us.
So the other two unfortunate cows are not as unfortunate as everyone thinks back on the Otzma Cameron dairy?
Oh no, Tom Brulé, that French Bernier cow, wants to have her own satellite talk radio show on the political movements. Maribo, the Danish red cow, wants to design cow wear for those who really appreciate it, which here means the movement on the planet Mu.
It is very hard to get attractive outerwear on Mu.
Very.
And Sage Derby, that cute little Dexter from Ireland, wants to act in our movies.
Let me see those contracts.
Look at the fine print.
And they will work all weekday lunches and double shifts every weekend for tips only.
Hey, these are waiter contracts for working in the Moo Diner.
And everyone knows that Moomin don't tip.
Run for it.
Well, that was close. Good thing we got those cows off that Moo ship and then voided those contracts. A phrase which here means ripped them to shreds and threatened the Moo men with time in the Dairy Defender Detention Center.
Yes, there's nothing like the prospect of cleaning out manure pits while in manacles to make the Moo men see the error of their ways, a phrase which here means, go home and stop trying to steal our fancy foreign cows. Another disaster averted by the men in milk,
Dairy Defenders.
So who's going to replace the actress who plays Hermione Grier in the Harry Provolone series?
I don't know. I just hope they don't get a quark.
What's a quark?
A cow with no personality.
That was Men in Milk, Chapter 4, A Series of Unfortunate Cows.
there was a little girl who wore a little red velvet cap that her grandmother had given her. She wore it all the time, so everyone called her Little Red Cap. One morning, her mother called her.
Hey, Little Red Cap, your grandmother is making room. Take this piece of cake and this bottle of wine. Carry them in your apron. Do not go off the path or you might fall break the bottle.
Yes, Mother.
The grandmother lived in the forest a half a league from the village. As Little Red Cap entered the forest, a wolf appeared.
Good day, Little Red Cap. Where are you going?
To my grandmother's.
And what have you got in your apron?
Cake and wine.
Where does your grandmother live?
Further on in the wood. Three large oak trees surround her house. Don't you know it?
She's nice and young. She'll taste better than her grandmother, but I want to catch and eat them both.
The wolf walked with her for a bit and then said,
Listen to how sweet the birds sing, and look at the pretty flowers. You walk as if you're going to school rather than through a merry wood.
Little Red Cap looked around and thought,
I should pick some flowers for my grandmother. That would make her happy.
She then ran from the path to get some. Meanwhile, the wolf went straight to the grandmother's house and knocked on her door.
Who's there? Little Red Cap, she has cake and wine. Open the door.
Lift the ladder, trying to eat to get out of bed.
The wolf opened the door, went inside, and devoured the grandmother. Then he dressed in her cap and climbed into her bed. Meanwhile, Little Red Cap finally finished picking her flowers and soon arrived at her grandmother's door. The door was wide open and she was suspicious. She went inside and called,
Good morning!
The wolf had the grandmother's cap pulled far down over his face.
Grandmother, what big eyes you have!
The better to see you with, my child.
Oh, Grandmother, what big ears you have.
The better to hear you with, my child.
Oh, but Grandmother, what big hands you have.
The better to hug you with, my child.
But Grandmother, what a big, huge, terrible mouth you have.
The better to eat you with.
The wolf jumped out of bed and swallowed Little Red Cap in one bite. Then he laid back down on the bed, fell asleep, and began snoring loudly. A hunter was passing by.
Wow, she's really snoring today. I wonder if she wants anything.
So he went into the house and found the wolf asleep in the grandmother's bed.
Ha! At last I found you, you wicked wolf!
But before he fired his rifle, it occurred to him that the wolf may have eaten the grandmother. So instead, he picked up some scissors and began to cut open the wolf's stomach. First, Little Red Cat popped out.
Thank you. It's very dark inside that wolf.
Then the grandmother came out.
And Stuffy, too.
Little Red Cap ran and gathered some stones. They filled the wolf's belly with the stones and then sewed him back up. When he awoke and tried to run away, he collapsed and fell dead. The hunter skinned the wolf and went home. The grandmother ate the cake and drank the wine and felt much better. But Little Red Cap was angry with herself.
I shall never leave the path when my mother has forbidden it.
The end.
That was another in our series, Grimly Speaking, based on the tales of the Brothers Grimm. This brings us to the end of the Cranky Kids Radio Show. More information about Cranky Kids can be found at crankykids.com. That's cranky with a K, crankykids.com. Until the next time, everyone stay well and do have fun. Bye now.